Hey guys, it's Jason. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. On this week's episode, we have Kerry Goff from Asheville, and I go to his house. I go to his house and we talk and we drink water and just chit chat about our bad experiences in comedy, since we both share a bad experience at this one club. So, well, not club, venue. There's one venue we share a bad experience with. So we talk about that, and you guys will enjoy hearing about hecklers and stuff, I'm pretty sure. And also, follow Kerry on Twitter, guys. It's at Kerry Goff. It's CaryGoff. So just follow him on Twitter. And also, he helps run some really awesome shows in Asheville. So I want you to go check those out when you can. The following shows are Monday, June 25th at Lab. It's Sarah Schaefer with San Francisco's Amy Miller. It's going to be Asheville's Minori Hines and Tom Sheave opening. And on July 10th at Lab, it's going to be Jared Harris. So go check those guys out. They're all very good comedians. So I'll be there. I'll be there so you guys can hang out with me as well. So yeah, let's get into the podcast.
Hey there!
But no, you said we are recording.
Yeah, we're recording now. What is this in my drink? It's like, did you cut tomatoes or something?
No.
It looks like a tomato seed. But yeah.
Oh, here, let me get you another drink.
No, it's fine.
Dude, I have stuff in your drink.
Who cares? It's all right.
Well, that's how we roll here at the Goff house. We're a disgusting family.
No, this Welcome is a nice house. I like it. It's very Asheville-y. I don't know if that's a thing. But when I think of Asheville, I think of artsy, yet nice.
Okay, well, I guess that's a good combo. Yeah. I'm looking around.
You're trying. You got a lot of artwork up.
Yeah. So, I guess that's my daughter's over there.
Oh, that's cute.
I painted that.
No, you didn't. You liar. I was going to say, if you're that talented, we need to get you to quit comedy right quick and start doing picture photography type paintings.
I've been really wanting to paint comics, you know?
Comics?
Yeah.
the comedians just like painting.
While they're on stage, like, yeah.
That'd be kind of difficult. Could you be still during this?
Just stop moving. Using oils, they're expensive.
Wow, you came with a list of questions.
I got a list of questions. Don't be looking. Don't be looking.
Oh, it's all right. Fine. All right. I don't have any questions. I haven't pre-written questions.
Well, that's good. So I want to know. We never talked about comedy other than will you do this show? Can I do this show? Type still. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you get started in comedy?
Well, through Tom Sheave. I think Tom had done comedy in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I think it was about 3 years ago. And then Charlie Grinzer moved into town and started Tomato Tuesday at the New French Bar.
Yeah.
And Tom heard about it. I was like, hey, man, come down here. Watch me do some comedy. So I watched Tom do comedy a couple of times. And then I got inspired and was like, I'll give it a whirl. So I went up. Michelle filmed. I had my first set somewhere. Michelle.
What?
Filmed my first set at Tomato Tuesday. And
I need to
and
see
then
that.
I just kept going. Oh, it sucks.
Oh, no. I wish I had mine because mine was the worst. The first time I did it, I did a guest spot for John Heffron. Like, I won it. Like, I just won that. And so.
How'd you win it?
Through a radio contest, I told one joke that people voted on and liked, and then so I got to do that, and it was horrible. Like, I was so nervous, I drank 6 bottles of water, and I still had dry mouth by the time I got on stage, and I was just like a wreck.
Yeah,
like I had 2 jokes, and 1 joke went over well, and that's the one that I won the contest with, and the other one just ate it completely.
What were the jokes?
One was my, have you ever heard the Precious joke? I tell it.
Yeah, I've heard
that. That was my first joke I ever read.
All right.
And then the other one was about picking up girls in Walmart and looking in their bag to see like what they had and just be like, I see that you buy Suave shampoo. I am also living with my parents and we would go well together type thing. It was just really dumb that I just came up with because I knew I had to do like 6 minutes. So it was rough. It was rough.
Well, that's the first set.
Yeah, but
how many people were there?
It was like a packed Goodnight's house. So wow. I think that's like 300 and something people.
What a way to jump into it, man.
It sparked something in me because I was like, well, I made them laugh with that one joke. So if I spend time on another one, like I can do it. And I don't know. It was really odd to have 300 people just quiet for 4 minutes. Oh gosh,
that's a great first experience.
It was. I don't know if I would trade it for anything, but I was so nervous I couldn't take it. Like,
dude, I don't know if I'd have done it. I don't know, man.
I about backed out 4 or 5 times. Like, I called the radio station. I was like, I don't know if I can do it. I was like, I really don't. Because
that's different than just an open mic where half the people are comics and there's maybe like 4 other people.
Yeah. This was like they paid money, like $40-something to come see comedy, and this is my first time doing it.
Did you tell people?
That was my first time. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not telling them it's my first time. That's going to make me look even more nervous and more.
That's when people try to garner that sympathy.
Yeah. I didn't try to do that at all. I was like, because that always bothered me. Because I went to the Goodnight's open mic and watched it. And like, I'd hear that from time to time. I'm like, I already didn't think you were funny as soon as you said, this is my first time. I guess I'm like, all right, move along. So like, I just didn't do that. But your first time was at Tomato Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which is rough, yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I didn't get tomatoed. And then the first time I did it, I did it twice in one night. I went up earlier, and it was meh. And then someone I knew showed up sat front row, and then Charlie said, why don't you go back up again? So I had to do my second time was in front of people I knew just randomly. And I did better. I did like an arc, you know, like I started, I got pretty good, and then the third time I sucked horribly and got tomatoed. That was like right when I was like, okay, yeah, I'm getting this. And yeah. You're not. And dude, then I had to build back up again.
Dude, that happens to me to this day. If I have 2 weeks of good shows, I'm like, I'm going to eat it hard soon.
Yeah, doesn't that
like,
suck?
You know it's coming. Like, you can feel it. You're like, okay, ego's getting too big. It's going to get checked right about now.
I wonder if I do it to myself, you know? Yeah. Like, I've had a string of good shows. Like, yeah, the shitty one's coming soon, man. I know it.
Yeah, that could be it.
And then it does come. But see, good shows make me feel insecure because I think I'm going to... Like, I never feel comfortable. Like, okay, I got this. I always feel like, wow, I was really lucky this time.
What?
Yeah, you're pretty funny, much every time. And then, you know, like, I'll eventually, like, you go, well, I'm going to have a shitty one. And it comes, but then when I have a shitty one, I'm like, fuck that, man. I'm going to, like, you know, and I buckle back down again and start writing. Like, I think string of good shows makes me kind of lazy. You know?
Yeah, like, it really does. When you have a string of good shows, I'm like this. I don't write as much. I'm like... Everything I say is gold. Like, why the hell write? Because, like, I used to go up, like, I got to have a week of good shows or something. Then the next week I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to riff more. And I do, and it goes over well, and then I do it one time and it bombs.
That's totally horrible. What happens. Like, it's a trap. Like, you'll riff one night, and it'll just be luck. Like, it'll be a crowd. Do something, they like you, and it's really, and you go, okay.
Yeah.
And then the next time, like, they don't like you. Oh, and you're just like, oh, that's why I don't do this.
Yeah, like, the week before I had my horrible set at Elaine's, I did 20 minutes at Elaine's and, like, felt great about it. Like, I riffed.
You did 20 at Elaine's?
Yeah. Tom told me that I could do 20 minutes there because I guess somebody didn't come. So I just did 20 minutes and I, like, riffed for, like, maybe 5 of it and, like, they enjoyed all of it. And then the next week I was still high and, like, I was like, I did 20 minutes and it was good. I did it. It was good. And then the next week it was like, hell broke loose. Fucking shit hit the fan.
That was the wedding party.
Oh, Jesus. That was the worst thing that could ever happen. First off, the mic comes out. Like, I took it out of the stand.
Nothing screws up a set like that.
The cord pops out. I'm like, all right, I already didn't have their attention because they've been shitty to everybody else. Now I have to put this mic back in. And then I had their attention for the first joke. I think, and then that's when it went south.
They were not going to pay attention.
They weren't going to pay attention.
No matter how well you did, whatever you did, they were not going to pay attention. They weren't there for comedy, you know. And
they came in there plastered drunk.
Yeah,
like not even.
I don't know if you're. I don't know how far your listeners are from, but Elaine's is the piano bar, the bottom of the Grove Park Inn.
Yeah,
and we open up for the dueling piano. The dueling piano. We got for 8:15 to 9:15 or 9:30, and every crowd is different. You know, we'll have some nights there's 20 people, some nights there's like 100 or so. Yeah. You have no idea. Some nights they're really nice and gracious, and other nights they're just the worst piece of crap crowd you've ever experienced.
Because you had a crappy show there. Was it this past week?
This last Friday, yeah. I got heckled. Like, stereotypical, you suck, get off the stage, which I have yet to experience. I've had people yell stuff at me.
That doesn't...
And I can handle that.
Yeah.
But this was a guy who was determined to, like, take me down. Oh, I was struggling, I sucked, and he sensed it and was like, I'm going to just take this. Oh, he
tasted
fear.
The blood,
yeah,
blood, man. Blood was
man.
In the
he was
water.
Ready.
He was ready for it.
And he was ready. And, you know, like, it would have just been a shitty set. But this was like a shitty set that led into dude yelling at me. Yeah. And I had, like, my wife tells everyone that I do comedy, which I tell her not to do.
So, yeah, that's and, a...
Yeah, I just don't want people I know seeing me. I don't mind strangers, but people I know. So I had met this couple at a dinner party right before I went to Elaine's that Jennifer kept mentioning comedy. So they just spontaneously came and saw me. And
it was that
watched
show?
Me. It was that show.
No! No! That's one of those things, like, they will never come see you again.
Oh, no. It was like, see, I don't mind sucking and walking off the stage and, like, having, you know, people won't even look at you. You know, like, there's that vibe. Like, I have walked off the stage and did, you know, really well or killed it, and people are a great set, you know, and that's a good vibe.
Yeah.
But then I have sucked so bad to where people can't even, like, look at, but they look at me like, oh, my God, that's the guy. It was so bad. And it was one of those nights where I just walked off and people were looking at me like shaking their head like, dude, that was...
I'm only laughing because I know your pain. Like, I've been there. That sucks.
Yeah, and it really doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothered me was those people being there. Because, like, I was telling Tom, like, it's one thing to suck in front of comedians and a crowd that will go away. And, but when all of a sudden that suckiness is now brought into, like, your regular day life, like, I see those people again and I have to hear their
patronizing,
like, no, you weren't that bad. Like, shut up, you know? That was horrible.
Yeah, don't lie to me. Don't fucking sit there and lie to me. I know it was bad. Yeah, that's why I don't like my parents seeing me. They seen me once and that was when I first started and I did it.
My mom
will
never see me.
Luckily, I did okay, and I didn't cuss a lot when they saw me. Otherwise, they would not want me to do comedy if they knew I cussed and stuff. Because my dad's a preacher and shit, so he wouldn't approve of that. But, like, heckling doesn't...
Well, that'd be a great way to have them never come see you again.
Yeah.
Just do, like, anal rape jokes.
Just do the hackiest, like, abortion jokes and shit.
What's the deal with anal rape? Then look at your dad. Am I right?
Oh, my God.
We don't want to see you again anymore, Jason.
But how many times have you been heckled? Like, since you've been doing it 3 years. Like,
that was the worst I've ever been. But, I mean, I've had people yell. It's normally just random things.
Yeah, it's not, like,
and, like,
hurtful.
Half the time. Yeah, well, I mean. Yeah. I mean, I've had people yell mean shit to me.
Yeah.
But either, like, half the time I have a good response.
Yeah.
And shut them down. And the other half, I just absorb it and just keep going. But this dude was, like, determined. And that's been my first time that someone's just been determined to take me out.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with it. Like, I think it's a good experience.
Yeah.
You know? And I, like, I had that moment when it's happening. I'm like, God, I'm sucking ass. There's these people watching me suck ass. And there's a guy yelling, I suck. And, like, that moment. And then I just kind of worked through it. I was just like, all right, well, I got to deal with this. And then I didn't have a great comeback. I just... Like, I was doing my bucket list joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have his bucket list. And he yelled something like, is it to tell a funny joke or something like
no!
that? And then everybody was like, ooh. And then I was just looking and I was just like, I think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take that guy's beer and shove it up his ass. And then everybody was like, bah! Like, you know, and I realized that's when the crowd was, you know, they realized he was being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, and he shut up after that. But that wasn't a great articulate comeback. That was me
going,
I hate you.
If you would let me
finish,
you would see that telling a good joke was on my bucket list. Oh, that's so bad. But, like,
it's fine. It's really not a big deal. Like, I'm already over it. It's good. It's gonna happen again. Yeah, and I don't care. That's a part of doing comedy. Like, I don't want to do comedy in safe rooms to my friends. I want to be out where I'm gonna in real life with people that think I suck and are gonna try to abuse me. And the more that I go through that, then I'll be able to handle every situation. Like, I already feel the next time it happens, like, I'll have a shorter moment of being in shock and be able to, like, turn around and, like, I'm gonna devastate the next person. Like, I really
I'm going to destroy them. I have 15 minutes on you, sir. Like, that's what happened to me, like, after that show. I wrote, like, 15 minutes of comebacks, like, to, like, any demographic of people. And, like, I don't know. I'm prepared for the next time that happens. Like, I'll handle it nicely. Like, cause,
My instinct is to try to handle it nicely.
Like, I want to handle it nicely, but I notice when hecklers, I handle them like a stupid child. Like, that you just, like, the annoying little
that's
kid.
That's what I do. Like, I'm, like,
It's horrible. You shouldn't be.
You suck.
You're
I
stupid.
I hate you. Stop moving mouth.
But, yeah, like, I want to be the nice guy that gets everybody on his side and still be able to shut them up. But what, when it happened to me, the guy came on stage, like, trying to fight me type deal.
Yeah.
And I had so much adrenaline. I was like, I want to fuck shit up. And, like, I just started yelling at everybody. I couldn't control shit. Like, my adrenaline was pumping so bad. And this guy was only, like, 5 foot something. Like,
you could have totally taken him, dude. I pushed
him off
the
stage.
What if he insulted his wife and beat his ass in front of his future wife all the same night?
That would have been great, like, cause I seriously could, cause he was, like, up in my face, and I think he thought I was a lot smaller person than I am. Like, when he got on the stage, he realized he was also way shorter than I am, and so he's looking up to me the whole time trying to run his mouth, and I stiff-arm him off of the stage, and then he goes off. But, yeah, like, I had so much adrenaline pump, and I was like, how come you don't understand satire, you dumb fucks? Like, I'm just, like, got so irritated. But, like, I felt more so than that shitty show, I felt bad for you and Tom. Like, I was like, oh, this is really bad.
It really, like,
It was the worst night
that it could ever happen, because the Grove Park was recently bought and all the new owners were right there in the room and they were deciding whether we're going to continue or not. And, but the thing is, like, I was worried about it. Yeah, I had to go talk to management. But they were cool about it, and we have a history of doing really good shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they balanced out the fact that we have, I don't know, like 20 shows. We've done tons of shows there. And that was the only time that that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they share the blame. Like, they should have told them there's comedy going on. And the people walked
out. Well, that's
good
they did that, so... I was really worried about it, though. Like, cause
I was worried. I really thought we were going to get
I was unconsolable afterwards. I was like, oh, shit, if they lose this room, man, I'm going to, like, fucking move to California or somewhere. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
We would have still loved you, Jason.
No, I wouldn't have loved you.
I assume that every room we ever run is going to end horribly. That's pretty much how. We used to run a room out called The Hangar out in South Asheville by the airport.
That sounds about right.
It's the shittiest open mic. It was on a Sunday night. The owner of the manager of the bar, his name was Creature. And,
Creature?
Yeah, and the bartender was this chick named Diamond.
Oh, and, that's classy right
there. Oh, my God. And the first night we're setting up, Creature came out and was like, now you guys are going to mind your cuss words. And then Tom was
Creature?
Like, oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And then he walked away, and I'm like, we're going to mind our cuss words? And Tom was like, no. And I'm like, this is going to end badly. And it ended exactly like, you know, we just got the email one day after a really bad night where we kind of made fun of the manager and all that.
Yeah.
And
like, well, you got to make fun of the guy named Creature.
Yeah.
Like, who wants you to mind your manners and your cussing. Stop your cussing, damn.
Yeah, so I just assume everything's going to end badly. So... You know, I was prepared for the Grove Park, but so far it's been good and they're nice. And I would say every fifth show kind of sucks, you know, like you'll have four good shows in a row and then a really crappy crowd.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times when they were only like maybe 10 people there and I was used to it being like packed almost. So I thought, I was like, this is odd. Okay. So these shows have bad shows too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are times we have to move to make room for people.
Yeah.
And then there are times where it starts and there's only like four or five people in the crowd. And it'll fill in at the end for people who want to dance to Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the, usually the front row fills in, like, I usually go right before the last person, I guess, and that usually fills in with people, for the, piano.
Yeah.
And they already have, like, their $5 out, and already written Great Balls of Fire 6 times on that piece of paper to put up there.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's great. If you're in Asheville, you should come and watch. If not the comedy, then the dueling piano, because it's nothing like extremely wealthy, drunk people
dancing
to two dudes with... The pianos look like regular pianos, but they're actually like Casio keyboards.
Yeah, they're like... I was looking at them because, like, I play piano a little bit. I was like, this is a bullshit. Like, this is just a little facade of a piano. It's just...
They
white.
Put the drums in there.
Yeah.
Maybe like Baby Got Back. I like the piano guys, but it is not a scene that I can stand to watch long.
Yeah, I can't stand what, mainly because it's usually the same songs every week and stuff. And after I had that shitty set out there, one of the piano guys came out there and was trying to give me comedy advice on dealing with hecklers and stuff. I'm like, you play a piano, sir. I was like, shut it down.
Just sit there with your drink and nod and be like, oh, really?
Okay. I was like,
let me give you some piano advice. Turn down the suck knob. How about that?
Oh my
Turn it
God.
Down from 10 to 5. How about that? Half the suck.
But like he acted like he's a 20-year veteran giving me advice on this. I was like, I would take this advice from any other comedian here tonight. I would take advice from them. You... Not so much. Like, you're pissing me off. Like, you're about to get what they got. But it's so bad.
He was, like, all doom and gloom the whole night. Yeah. Like, he would come up to me and be like, you know, all the owners are here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I know, dude.
I think he felt bad for us a little bit. Like, I think he's
trying.
We
have a pretty good relationship. I like them, and they're good. And they're always, like, promote our shows after we get off. Like, they're good guys, you know? Like, I don't like sitting there and watching people sing along to... the music and stuff, but they're good guys, and they do pretty well there. You know, they got the fish bowls filled with
They make tons of money. I wish we could make money.
We need
just
to get some fish bowls. Yeah,
fish and bowls.
I should just go out there and suck and be like, if you want me to leave the stage, fill this thing up.
Dude, I'd suck every night for $150. Like, I would do that. I would eat shit every
suck
night.
Suck every night for $150.
Yeah, I'd be sucking guys off in the back for $150.
Jason is a whore, everybody. Breaking news.
Oh, God. It's not that breaking news, to be honest. Like, I'm pretty sure if they listen to the podcast, they know I'm kind of a whore when it comes to certain things.
$150, folks, that's all you need.
Times is rough. This economy, man. Sucking dudes off.
Now my windows are open,
and
my neighbors can hear.
Well, who cares? It's Asheville. They're used to people, like, yelling, I'll suck a dude off.
Gary was in his house, and Jennifer gone, and just yelling this out the window.
They're gone family. They're really fucked up. So what else is on your list?
Oh, I got, like, how did you learn to be funny?
Like, I took multiple classes.
No, dumbass. Like, my like, kind of story is just kind of the typical, like, I was chubby and I had to learn to be funny in order to not get beat up. Like, that's just a typical thing. Like, I was wondering if you had something similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, I got, like, picked on and shit because I was small, but, like...
Was it because you...
I don't know if I was funny because of...
Because of that?
Because of that. I was just... I don't know. I would just always, like... Like, I'd read comics and shit when I was young, and I had a Steve Martin record, which I actually still have the exact same record. And I would sit and listen to it. And I love Steve Martin. I would just listen to it over and over again.
He's one of my favorites. Oh,
like, man, he was just so random. And it's still, like, my favorite style of humor. Yeah. Like, he's not there making some political point or some big observation about life. It's just random, silly, funny things. And, like, I really like that. But also, we had a Richard Pryor record. And I'd have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, in the closet with my record player
really
low.
I feel like a lot of parents wouldn't hear.
Then I had Eddie Murphy. My parents found the tape, and they sat down with me and played Eddie Murphy, and then they would stop and look at me and, like, do you find this funny? Inside I'm laughing, but I had to be like, no, it's horrible. I'm ashamed.
The shame jammas. Yeah, shame pajamas on.
So, I don't know, man. I just listened to, like, comics, and I write satire, and I've always been pretty good at writing satire, so most of my comedy has been through writing, and like that hooked up with Asheville Disclaimer, and therefore with Tom and Michelle, and that's eventually what led to stand up. But doing the transition from writing humor to stage humor, like, it's just completely different.
Yeah,
you know, like, you can take the same idea,
but it's not.
You can't just take it from Word and read it on stage. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've. It's been interesting. It's like a whole other dimension of humor.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, I know what works on paper. Actually.
Yeah.
Like, I feel pretty confident in that. But, you know, stand up. There's too many variables. You know.
Yeah.
It's like I don't sit. It's not like I write stuff and hand it out and watch everyone read it. You know.
Yeah.
But when I do stand up, that's what I'm doing. It's like.
Yeah. I have this notebook. It's like full of half-assed jokes and stuff. People will read it, they're like, this isn't really that funny. I was like, no, it's a funny voice. This is a funny voice. Like, this is my funny voice material. So, I'm like, all right. But
yeah,
you never know how
it's going to work. Like, it looks dumb on paper, and I've even told people jokes before I went up. Like, I got this joke, and I say it, and they look at me stone-faced. They're like, I don't know. And then I'll go up, and it works.
Yeah. Like, there's that, but, like, I always go by, like, the build. Like, I talked to one of the writers for The Cosby Show one time.
It's
like, when I was in film school. And she told us that Bill Cosby told her, if it's not funny on the page, it's not going to be funny in real life. And I always tried to do that, but then again, sometimes, like, you can't do that. Like, it was stand-up anyway.
I mean,
like,
how
it's
do you write out the nuances of, speaking on paper? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, it might be true, because I wouldn't know, because my shit's not that strong.
Yeah, like my whole baby bird bit, like I've been working on that.
Yeah, baby bird would not work reading it.
No, it wouldn't work.
It's all about
that voice, and like you be like knowing who this character is that I know. And I don't know, like that, I don't think that would work. And that's probably one of my favorite new bits.
I love baby bird.
Like, I added a new part tonight. I'm excited to use it. Like, it's so funny to me. So we'll see how funny it is to everybody else. Like,
if it's funny to you, that's a good start.
Yeah, but your wife and kids are very supportive, I'm assuming, since your wife tells everybody you're a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a mixture.
A mixture?
Like, a mixture, yeah. Like, she's supportive, but, you know, there are times when I'm going out too much, and then I get in trouble, and I gotta pull back.
Oh, yeah, there have been those nights where I've been... I don't know if you get drunk, but I get drunk around you a lot. Like, I'm always pretty much hammered around you if we're at a late out somewhere. So.
Yeah, I tend to, like, I've really chilled out, but, yeah, I love, like, if it's, like, Athena's, and I know I'm gonna be there till 1 o'clock in the morning, it's like, I have to drink to
You have
get
to do
through
something,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm getting hammered, and then I'm coming home at 2 a.m, and, like.
And you're throwing keys in the,
waking the dogs up, and the kids up, and, like, yeah, it's just, then I understand why she gets annoyed with that, so, I'm kind of rearranging how I do things. Like, I basically need to do comedy and then get the hell out of there.
I'm going to miss Carrie.
No,
my favorite part about you is, like, when I get, like, drunk and stuff, you turn into, like, little boy mode. And everything is hilarious to me when you go into little boy mode. Like, the other day, there was that tin can type thing that was in the
VIP
section.
Martini.
Yeah, the big martini thing. You were just throwing little plastic balls and keys in it, just making all kinds of noises. So much fun.
Yeah, trying to do a little circle drain thing that they have at the
draw a guy sucking dicks on the back of my notepads.
That was
stuff.
A work in progress.
That was actually,
what's his face?
James?
Yeah, James Hancock.
Oh, my gosh. That got, like, it went from just a guy with a whistle.
And it was your idea. Like, I was drawing a face, and you were like, thank God you didn't draw a cock. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, really? And then I drew a cock.
And then I
hit it and made it look like a hand.
Yeah.
And then James came along and drew just a couple of lines, and all of a sudden it was a guy sucking a cock.
It got very, it was a reach around with Santa Claus, and, like, it got graphic. But the thing
and
is,
you
like,
covered it up, dude.
Yeah, I covered it up. But what I covered it up with is History Makes Me Wet bumper stickers that somebody gave me. I had nothing
else to do it.
But,
So your parents didn't see that?
Oh, no, my parents.
What are you doing out there, Jason?
No, I tell my parents, like, my parents understand that not all comedians are, like, because they came and saw me at the pub, and they noticed a lot of comedians do anti-Christian, anti-, a lot of things that they believe in and stuff. So, like, they know that's out there. They just don't want me doing that. As long as I'm not doing that, they'll be fine.
Yeah, there's enough like people doing that. You don't need to do that.
I don't find it funny. Like, it's, I don't know.
I can find it funny if it's truthful, but there's a lot of people that are just like, I'm going to make some point. And they get up there and then they're soapbox rambling about it.
Like, Lewis Black says this, I think. Something can be political and you can be saying something, but it needs to be funny first. Like, if something's not funny, it's not going to be funny no matter how truthful it is. Because I've seen people do, like, I don't know, just any religion joke. Like, you have the orangutan Easter joke or whatever.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like, that was
funny. I try to make fun of the world on Christmas.
Yeah.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny, I think.
Oh, good.
But it's
that's
just...
That's about the only religious joke, and that's only, like, half religious.
Yeah, it's really just, like, making fun of pagan Easter eggs and shit. But, yeah, like, that's funny, but it's just... Some of this stuff gets too in detail where it's, you feel like the comedian's trying to hurt somebody in the audience, like try to piss somebody off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's annoying to me. Like, I don't want to piss off the audience. Like, they're going to get pissed off eventually. They're like, why is he doing all these damn voices all the time? 20 minutes of these fucking voices.
I like your deer.
Oh, God. I hate that now.
Deer.
I hate that joke so much. I went like 4 weeks without doing it, I feel like, or two or three. I don't know how long, but I felt like I needed to do it last night and then. To nothing. Like, that was just a weird crowd.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's just gonna happen.
Yeah. Because they like Baby Bird, which is a weird voice, but they didn't like that. I think it's just too weird, too quick, or something. I don't know. Because I started off with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I've seen you start off with that and it worked. So, yeah. It's just the crowd, you know, like whether they're.
That's a risk. That's one of those risky ones. Like, you're like, this is a crowd I can do this in. Nah, that's not gonna work. So.
Well, I started my set off at Grove Park with the joke about how I've written a set about, you know, my comedian friends were telling me I need to write a set that people can relate to, you know, everyday things. And I go into my, like, you ever been sitting in a bathtub drinking wine and cutting yourself because you've had a really bad day? And it was a whole list of, like, bizarre things that, of course, no one would relate. And they all looked at me, they took it literally, like, no, I've never been in a bathtub cutting myself. You're weird, sir.
Yeah.
Like, they completely missed the entire point. And I think I just screwed up setting it up.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it was my fault. I didn't set it up correctly or something. But they were all just like, no, that's very strange behavior.
Yeah, like, I think I had to realize what I look like to people so I could get away with more stuff is because, I don't know. Like, I have to know what I look like. If I look like this beer... swelling man that I look like, and then I'm doing something kind of odd, like it's off-putting.
Yeah,
it's off-putting.
See, I haven't figured that out about me. Yeah. I don't know what people think when they look at me. I don't know if that's even possible to figure out, and because everyone has different opinions.
Yeah. But like the most part, like you saying you cut yourself, if you look like you could possibly cut yourself, like you have scars, like they're not gonna laugh. They're like, oh shit.
So maybe they thought that I'm actually someone.
It's like, with this tone of voice, he definitely cuts himself. With that beard, he definitely cuts himself.
Yeah, that weird bald guy.
Oh, gosh. You are wearing one of my favorite cartoons as a kid, Underdog.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so great to me. But, yeah, we've done our time. We went over our time, if you want to. All
right.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
No. Anything we answered all your questions?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, I didn't touch on how super nice you are all the time.
Really?
Yeah,
you
I don't
know me very well.
No, like, well, I don't. That's the point of the podcast. I don't know you that well, but I see you around and I get drunk around you all the time. But you're super nice to me all the time and most people. I've seen you be kind of snarky to people too, though. So
I try not to be. I just really would just want to have fun. You know, like
I think that's
when
what
I drink.
About.
That's you know, I just. Want to have fun, really. Yeah. And that's just me trying to have fun, because a lot of times on those 24 comic nights...
Yeah, that's rough.
It's not fun anymore.
After 10, I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, I'm getting drunk in the back.
I feel bad, because, yeah, like, I'm there supposed to be running it, and then I'm, like, hamming it up in the back. Like,
yeah,
occasionally have to be told to shut up.
Yeah, I feel bad about that, too, because I feel like... I was like, I should be more respectful, but you know what... I don't blame people for doing that when it's, like, one of these nights either. Because, like, I've had people do that to me when I go up late. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I understand that. That's the thing about Athena's is
the
people in the back, you're glad they're there because they're buying drinks and they're supporting it. But if they're not listening, you can't take it too personally.
Yeah, you
got to be good enough to get their attention back.
Yeah.
That's the challenge of it. And then if you don't, then screw it. Just plow through your set and get off stage. And there have been nights where, no one gave a shit that I'm up there.
But
I'm just going to do my set and get the hell off.
I think it was last week. That was one of the worst nights I've had at Athena's in a while. Because I got up there, and normally, like, I don't know what it is, but sometimes I can say something, and people are just quiet. Like, everybody's just quiet. And the last time I went up there, and just nothing. Like, everybody's just, ah. I was like, ugh.
That's Athena's, man. Yeah. It's not always a kind room, which is why I like it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
This past week, I went up there, and I was trying out some new jokes for the first half, and I had their attention, but I wasn't making them laugh, really. So I was like, that's weird. I can get their attention, but they're not laughing. Maybe because these jokes suck ass.
Now, you got to run it through, like, four or five.
Yeah, I always reword it differently each time, because Baby Bird didn't work the first four times I tried it at Athena. I was like, it never worked. And then last night, I finally figured out the formula to get it to work, and it worked. So,
Well, I can't wait to see it tonight. Yeah, hey, when is this going to go out? Can we promote a show?
It probably won't go out before Rory's show.
No, but there's one June. Sarah Schroeder? Is that her name?
Sarah Schroeder.
June. Shit, I don't have my thing on me.
Oh, well.
Check Disclaimer Underground Comedy on Facebook.
Yeah, I can plug like all your Twitter and everything beforehand. I got to do an intro to this. So
okay.
I'll tell them about that show if you want me to.
Yeah, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
And
we got about 300 listeners, so if a little bit comes out, that'll work for you.
What the hell? Maybe someone will be in town.
Yeah. It's always good to let people know shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you, Carrie.
I can't wait to see you tonight, man.
Me too.
We're going to the Slice of Life.
Oh, God.
And Petey's doing 20 minutes.
I'm excited to see Petey. Like, he's one of the few comics, like, I like watching. Like, I don't know. There's something about it. I just like watching him.
He's, like, a really good guy. And it comes off on stage. And I don't think I've ever seen him have a bad set. Like, he just...
I've seen him have rough sets, but I wouldn't.
But even his rough
bad.
Sets,
they're really, not bad.
Yeah. Like, he's just...
There's nothing
he's
to be, like, ashamed of.
Yeah.
Like our sets that we've been ashamed of. I've never seen him anything like that.
Oh no, I've never seen him anything like that. And he kills it at the Grove Park every time, man.
He's there every week, isn't he? Or he was when I was
pretty close. Yeah, I mean, there's weeks that he's not there, but he's such a good closer, and the people love him there, and it's nice to end on a good note.
Yeah.
I followed him, which is
that's rough. That's
yeah,
rough. Like you when know, you know like, somebody
that was the first time I ever. Tom asked me to close.
Yeah.
And so I followed Petey, and Petey did really well.
Do you think you psyched yourself out a little bit?
I think there was that,
I think...
I'm determined. I'm telling Tom, dude, I'm closing again after Petey. I'm going
to
do, like, the
you
exact same
to,
set.
You have to, dude. You just have to.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, that's one thing that keeps me going. If I eat shit somewhere, I'm like, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to destroy that motherfucker.
Actually, doing horrible is what keeps me in comedy, really. Because it's like, I enjoy the challenge of it.
Yeah, if it was easy, everybody would do it, and it would just, there would be no, you wouldn't feel good about it, you know? After you have a good set, you're like, I had a good set, and I deserve to relish in this, because I've had 40 shitty ones.
Yeah.
You know, like, it feels that much better.
I enjoy it. Like, even in the next day, I'm like, I wake up, and I'm like, I killed it last night.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I used to be that way. Like, I can't get the comedy high anymore. Like, no matter how well I do. Like,
I do. But the comedy lows are so much longer. I'll stew on shit for, like, 3 days if I do bad. If I do well, it's, like, one day. And then I'm back to, like, man, I'm going to suck next time if I don't. Yeah, I'm very insecure. I don't know. Maybe a lot of comics are, but I'm very insecure.
So.
Like, I don't trust anything good. Like, I'm just like, it's gonna turn to shit. This joke's working now, but it's not going to work next week.
I think it's just because you don't feel like the joke. Like, I've told some of the jokes so many times, I'm like, they're dead to me.
I believe that. You tell it so much that you lose what was funny about it.
Yeah.
You know, you lose the timing and the enthusiasm behind it. Yeah.
So, like, I try to go a while without doing certain jokes, but I always have them in my arsenal in case, like, shit goes down. But sometimes shit goes down, those don't work.
Yeah.
But, man. Fuck. This was fun.
All right. So that's it.
That's it. We'll
have you eaten?
No. We can go get something to eat if you want.
I'm hungry.
Let's end it. I'll promote your Twitter and your shows and all kinds of good shit
before
this.
Awesome. All right.